Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. I have an amazing guest that's on today. You're going to love this interview. It's with Melissa Perez from the JP2 Healing, John Paul II Healing Center, located in Florida. And it's about an upcoming event that's happening next week. And you'll hear about it during the program. During the last segment of the program, I have Melissa pray with me. And you're going to be really moved by this prayer. It's very powerful. And so I love the gift that Catholic Radio allows for us to be able to do this kind of work. All right, get ready. Enjoy the interview. I'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Oh, and welcome to the program, Melissa Perez. Melissa, she does many things. She's a juggler at the JP2 Healing Center. She not only MCs events, she's going to be speaking at the Undone Conference that is happening in next week. It's happening in just a week at St. Michael's in Olympia. Super exciting for that. And she and her husband do workshops on communication. And she highly recommended that my wife, Carrie, and I attend that part of the workshop. I don't know if she listens into the program and just realizes that we got to work on our communication, or maybe you just have an insight from the Holy Spirit. Melissa, I don't know what it is, but welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I can't say it's insight. I think it's just reality. Everybody needs help communicating.
Nice. I love that. Well, and I want to say that I've been familiar with the work of the JP2 Healing Center for, goodness, at least 10 years. How long have you guys been around?
Oh, at least 10 years. We've actually been around a little bit longer than that, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Dr. Schutz was, I think, the first one I had on, and then his brother was on one time for another event. And you guys have come out to Western Washington more than once to host a variety of sort of healing events. And I have to tell you, when I think about, like, when I have guests on regularly, and one of the things I love to ask them, especially those that have a national sort of footprint in terms of being out and about. And I say to them, I say, where do you see the Holy Spirit at work? Like, where do you see signs of life happening in the Catholic Church today? Because there are lots of sort of discouraging demographics. Well, a number of times folks have said, well, the work of healing, the work of ordinary Catholics, Catholics outside of, say, movements who have come into contact with the Father's desire to heal, that Jesus is a divine physician who moves with healing purposes, that the Holy Spirit moves to unbind and set free. And the name, the JP2 Healing Center, often comes up in that regard. So I just want you to know, and I have to admit, it's amazing how the work of the JP2 Healing Center has just sort of blossomed and bloomed in terms of the number of groups that you're serving bishops and priests and seminarians and therapists and all kinds of folks. When I think you started, like, just serving Catholics who would be interested in coming. And now it's, well, everybody's interested in coming and everybody needs to come. And how do we serve all of these different groups? So first of all, it must be sort of like riding an elephant that's charging, being part of the JP2 Healing Center with all that's going on.
Wow. First, I just want to say thank you for, you know, God is so good. None of us could do any of this without God leading the way, clearing the path, opening the doors he wants open. So I've never ridden an elephant, so I don't really know what that would feel like. But I will say that I do say often it feels like surfing with the Holy Spirit. That's nice. What it feels like to me. I feel like I personally am surfing with the Holy Spirit. And I think that universally, we would all have our own way of echoing that same type of sentiment or feeling, which is just being in the will of God. And trying to trust and abide in that place. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be part of the ministry and to have been invited into this mission, God's mission. It's beyond an honor. It's just beyond an honor.
So Melissa, let's start to uncover a bit of what the work of the JP2 Healing Center does, what it accomplishes in the lives of Catholics. And I'm speaking like in a general sense here, but I'm going to use the word healing. It's a JP2 Healing Center. And there are still probably a number of folks listening to the program. When they think of healing, they think primarily or maybe only about physical healing. And, or maybe like, let's call it spiritual healing, that is confession or something like that. I want to use a phrase, relational flourishing. And in order to flourish in a relationship, I need to have a degree of wholeness and integrity in terms of who I am to bring into a relationship if that relationship is going to flourish rather than be one that is a heavy lift and a burden for the other person in the relationship. And so I want you to talk a bit about the way that the JP2 Healing Center helps relationships to flourish. And you can pick any particular like instance of relationship that you'd like, but to talk about the Lord's desire to bring healing so that people flourish, people who are in relationships.
Wow. Oh, that's a beautiful question. So you mentioned integrated, and that is God's desire to bring healing, and by healing to bring us back to wholeness, who he created each and every one of us to be. So I think it starts with us individually. And through the processes, through the talks, through the prayer experiences that the JP2 Healing Center offers through their various conferences, all of them are rooted in God's truth, and all of them are rooted and bring in the truth of an explanation of the theology of the body. So who we are, who God created us to be, how we may have come disintegrated, how we may have had experiences in our lives where the enemy pounced, got us to believe things that aren't true, to come into agreement with his lies one way or another, and then how we act out of that. So through the many teachings, through the many different conferences, they're all kind of focused on creating an environment that is safe and allows us to enter in to these places of our heart, these sacred places of our heart, and have the courage to invite the Holy Spirit in for these places of healing, these places of recognition where we came out of agreement with God's perfect plan for us, and how we get back to that, how we get back to those places of our hearts where we can have real relationship with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And then from that, right? So once we are accomplishing those things and we've begun our healing journey, then it's almost like that oxygen mask theory on an airplane, right? So if we can get some oxygen, then we can put the oxygen mask on to those next to us, you know, our loved ones. And then it just has this beautiful ripple effect. I've been able to see this beautiful ripple effect amongst families and friends and different people that will come, and I'll see a couple years later that come up and say what their experience was and how their lives have been changed.
So, you know, that's so beautifully said. You're a wonderful witness is what you are. You're witnessing to these truths and in a way that like it's very authentic and it has a power to it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drill this thing down to a specific instance in people's lives who might have heard your language and still say, I don't know what Melissa's talking about. And so here's the example. Folks, a lot of you might be thinking, I don't feel disintegrated. I don't feel like the devil pounced. I, I don't know what she's talking about. If I go to this conference, I might hear some new interesting information. Well, let me share, brothers and sisters, that there are wounds that you carry from your childhood when, just for instance, your parents spoke to you. Maybe they lost their patience and they spoke harshly. They spoke in a way that was, it was maybe mean, and it said things to you. It created a wound. And that wound can often leave a scar or a wall that will make you find yourself difficult. It's difficult now to trust. It's difficult now to be open, because the one who's supposed to be loving and caring for me wounded me, hurt me, and it left its impact on my life. And you know what? I don't even realize the impact that that's having on my life as I've grown up, how it's stunted a degree of integration and flourishing regarding my emotional life and how to speak in a way that is life-giving, or having a sense of self that I have this sense of despising or hating myself, and I don't even know where that's coming from. I don't even know how to name it. Whatever it is in your lives, brothers and sisters, you're carrying stuff like that, and you've learned how to manage it. And a lot of us learn how to manage it by not dealing with it. But what ends up happening is people end up dealing with us who are not dealing with it. And does that make any sense, Melissa?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. It even makes sense in my own life. Do you want me to give you an example?
Go right ahead, please.
Yeah.
This is a dialogue. This is us. Okay, let's have this conversation.
Great. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll share this. As you were talking, I was thinking, "Woo, come Holy Spirit, what is it? What is it you're asking me to say here?" And so I'll just speak personally about myself. And what I can tell you is that there were times in my life where I would get frustrated and I would get angry and kind of just, they have all these expressions for it now, like Karen, you know, God bless those out there who are named Karen. I'm so sorry. I don't love this new lingo or, you know, coined name, but really kind of lose it with people and get angry. And I had already started my own healing journey with reading different books and then even Dr. Bob's book, but I had also been practicing contemplative prayer, where I would sit in silence. I would read scripture and then I would meditate on it and I would go into silence. And I had really been doing this for a few years, and God spoke to me over and over and over again. But one time there was somebody visiting, it was a holiday and we had company and relatives in, and this particular person always kind of knew how to get under my skin. And I had gotten really, really angry. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and was thinking to myself, what is going on? So I came out into what I call my prayer room, where I'm sitting now. And I was just in silence and praying. And I was asking the Lord to show me, why are there these moments in my life where I get so angry? And then sadly, I launch out at the people I love the most, right? So I kind of spew this anger out on the people that I love the most, which is very contrary to my normal personality, which is very loving and open. And, you know, people say I'm joyful and I'll take their word on that compliment. And so he started to show me something that blew my mind. And he showed me the moment that I was born. And he showed me being born into his hands. But what adult Melissa knows is that I don't know any much at all about my actual birth story. I'm adopted. And I was adopted at a very young age. And I was adopted by a family who did such a great job loving us well, all five of us, all five adopted children. But what he showed me in this place was that I was taken and separated from my biological mother, and that it left this hole of abandonment, which is a wound. And you referenced wounds. And so I just asked the Holy Spirit to come into that moment. And he said, we rejoiced. The angels surrounded you. We rejoiced in your name. And I had this moment where I realized, wow, not at that time I was sobbing and I was just really into this moment. But as I've reflected on that over the years, and I've shared the story over the years, I realized that was a very significant part of my healing journey. And what I have since learned is that as you were saying, all of us experience some sort of trauma. There's trauma A and trauma B. There's trauma that is sometimes things that happen to us, that are done to us, that we didn't ask for, we didn't condone, we didn't welcome, and we didn't deserve. And there's trauma where things weren't provided for us that were good and holy desires and that were natural. The bonding of my bonding with my natural birth mother. I didn't receive that. So what happens in these, even though I was a baby, right? Not, I had no words. It's pre-verbal, right? This pre-verbal. My body knows because we're an integrated person. God made us. We can't separate from our mind and our soul and our body. We're integrated, but there's fractures and ruptures that happen. And these places where, in order to protect ourselves, we believe things that are not true about ourselves. In order to protect our hearts, we may make judgments or believe lies or make vows even. And then those things, you know, these wounds, so this wound of abandonment in that place growing up through my life, I would act out of these places of woundedness, and that's sin. So the wounds can lead us to sin, and sin separates us from God. Sin is what disrupts that relationship that we were talking about earlier from God. And so to have these places in our lives where we have these awareness pieces and we can allow ourselves to be open to the Holy Spirit highlighting or showing us some of these deep places in our life. And there's varying types of trauma. And no one that I have ever met is without some sort of trauma. Of some varying degree.
We've been blessed with 9 children. One of our kids is adopted, and we have walked through a journey with her. There's a book, you might not be familiar with it. It's called Parenting in the Eye of the Storm. And it's about parenting children of adoption. And this therapist identifies 9 different types of abandonment that an adopted child experiences, even those who are just, you know, they're adopted from the moment of birth. And I can remember working through those with my daughter. And one of them was, you know, it was literally the birth mom, you know, left the hospital, came down the elevator. We then went up the elevator to get our daughter. And that was a moment of abandonment. Because there was a moment there, it was, you know, maybe 30 minutes at most, where she literally had no one overseeing, caring for her. She had no mother or father in that little window of time. And she was perfectly safe, right? There was no risk.
Right.
But the existential experience of saying, my birth mother left me, and my adoptive parents had not yet taken me.
Right.
Is existentially, or lives in the heart as a wound of abandonment.
Yeah, it does.
No one was at fault, right? There was no fault there. But it left a mark. And folks, you might be listening to this and thinking, oh, come on, how can that be a thing? And the reality, here's the thing. So many of the wounds or the traumatic impacts on our lives. And there's something that you could also touch upon. It's called secondary trauma. It's the trauma experienced by those who are around a person who's acting out of their trauma. And even if you haven't had something major in your life where you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't identify moments of trauma in my life that are these high level, big deal things. Yeah, but if you're around people who are acting out of their trauma, it washes over and it soaks into you too. It's that whole relational thing again.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm sharing this just to say that there's a way in which the Lord wants to restore to us what we have lost, even when we can't even remember when we had the freedom and joy that the Lord intends for us. We may not have any memory of that or no experience of it, But the Lord wants to restore us into experiences of freedom, light, life, and flourishing that we've never known. And I credit the JP2 Healing Center for bringing to, like, let's say, bringing to public discourse in the Catholic Church at a level that it just hadn't been known before, these dimensions and types of healing.
Yeah. You know, you said something and it reminded me, in our circles, we hear a lot and say a lot, that which is not transformed is transmitted. So when you were talking about that secondary trauma, and to just go back, that has become my barometer of when I know I'm acting out of a place of woundedness, I will start to feel myself get angry. And so we all act out of these places. If we know after we act out of these places, if whether or not we feel good about ourselves, or we start to feel shame, or we start to behave in different type of addictive type personalities to try to numb out. And so that I would just say to share with everyone that when you realize that you are behaving in a way that is not your good self, not all who God intends you to be, and none of us are perfect. He doesn't ask for perfection, right? But then that's a place where you can kind of start to grab a hold of it and say, okay, what is this? Let me look at this. Let me take this to the Lord. Let me take this to prayer. Let me take this to a healing conference. And because you're right, that which is not transformed is transmitted. And then we are creating damage. You know, the ripple effect can be good, or the ripple effect could be from something bad.
So again, I'm talking with Melissa Perez. If you guys are enjoying listening to Melissa today, you can see her in person at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Olympia. Next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is the Undone Conference. It's for women, guys. Give your wife an incredible gift. Wife, give your husbands a gift and go to the Undone Conference. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 21st to the 23rd, happening again at St. Michael's in Olympia. You can learn more about the Undone Conference. We're going to keep talking, but you can learn more about it by going to jp2healingcenter.org and then look under the calendar of events. You'll see Undone, and you'll be able to register for the event. And JP2 is J-P-I-I, jp2healingcenter.org. And Melissa's going to be there speaking. And Melissa, one of the other treats is that there might be one couple out there that maybe has had a communication breakdown at one point in their married lives, maybe. So for that, I'm teasing.
Maybe.
Melissa, talk about what you and your husband do to foster again, flourishing in communication.
Yes, yes, yes. So out of a place of brokenness again and woundedness many years ago, 21, it's been a while. We realized that we needed some help communicating, and we were high school sweethearts. We dated in high school. We broke up senior year and went our separate ways for 10 years and met again at our high school reunion. And we 100% knew that we were supposed to be together even in high school, but we just had some growing up to do. So that being said, we felt like we had this communication thing down pat until our first big fight happened and I started acting like a toddler. And we realized we needed someone to help. And there's a local nonprofit here in Tallahassee, Florida, called Live the Life. And they trained us. We took this course, and then we're certified coaches in this course called Adventures in Marriage. And then now we're starting to offer, well, we've offered it before, but pun intended, I suppose, it marries perfectly with Dr. Bob's Unveiled Marriage Conference. And so we do a one-day communication workshop on Fridays during the Unveiled Conference. It's a lot of fun. It's practical tools. It's like, if you're in the trenches, if you're married, you can have the best marriage on the planet. You're still in the trenches because the enemy's coming after you. It's warfare, right? We're on the front line. So you've got to have the right, tools, you know.
Amen. Oh, absolutely. Well, and Melissa, so here's the thing. I think that women might be more naturally drawn to conferences like this. Women tend to be a bit more intuitive, a bit more self-aware, the ability to reflect and to be able to share about, the emotional level of things. And that can be an incredible gift. And I think that at a conference like this, you mentioned that it's a safe place. It's a conference. You don't just hear talks, but I've heard talks at these conferences. I haven't been to the women's conference, but these talks are often laced with testimonies. It's not just teaching, but teaching come to life. And then it's also a variety of experiences of prayer and ministering in prayer. And this is where it's, again, for Catholics, if you haven't experienced this, when someone's praying with you and you realize that you're in the presence of the living Lord and you've given the Lord permission to unveil to your own self places in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit that are bound up, that he wants to loosen, he wants to unbind and set you free. He empowers the faithful. He empowers us. He empowers his church with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to bring insight, to be able to bring a word, to bring a memory to the surface that the Lord is saying, I want to deal with that. I want to take away the sting. I want to be able to wash away the negative impacts of that on your life. And that's a real thing. This is how God moves in healing purposes. He heals in silence in the deep work of contemplative prayer, but he will often work when some of these things are brought specifically out into the open and they can be dealt with. So talk a bit about that. Talk about, for folks who have never experienced this reality of praying with someone and seeing the Holy Spirit at work, drawing things out into the open and dealing with them. What's that like?
For all of our conferences, or were you specifically talking about
Undone? Like, for instance, just to say, for instance, at the Undone conference, like there are a bunch of women listening right now and guys thinking, okay, well, what am I sending my wife to? Or if the wife is, thinking, or the mom, or the single woman thinking, is this for me? And what's going to happen to me?
Oh yes. What's going to happen to me? I understand there can be a lot of trepidation. I always say to the welcoming registration team, there are going to be people that show up cartwheeling in and backflipping in and so happy to be here. And there's going to be people coming in with a lot of trepidation thinking, does everybody know my stuff? Is this therapy? Is all my stuff going to be brought out to the public for a public lynching? And, I'm the only one who's ever experienced this. I don't even know why I'm here. I just want to run away and hide. All of those things are very real realities, and many more that I haven't mentioned even, where people can come in. But specifically for Undone, what the women are going to experience is they are going to experience freedom like they've never had in their identity as a woman. They're going to hear truth spoken, God's truth, like who he created woman to be, which is countercultural. It's not what the world is telling us. It's less than, the world is saying, or a whole bunch of lies that we've believed, but it's really God's truth of who he created woman to be. And also exploring this idea of how we started to believe these lies, like what happened. So we have the garden and this beautiful integration and this beautiful example of love and that Trinitarian love and that embrace in the garden. And then we also explain then the fall and what happened and why did Satan go after Eve? Why was it Eve that he went after? Well, he created woman to be beautiful, to be relational, and to be receptive. And so many women reject this idea of beauty because we've been so distorted. The enemy cannot create, he can only distort. And so there's been this huge distortion on beauty and what the definition of beauty is. We're talking about real beauty that comes from within, the kind of beauty that you just want to be around that beauty all the time. You're drawn to it and attracted to it in a way that makes you feel loved and safe. And there's relation. You mentioned that women like to open up more. Generally speaking, it's easier for them to share. Well, he created us to be that type of bridge in relationships with people. And then receptive, we are literally and figuratively and spiritually and physically receptive. That's who he created us to be, to take on life, to be able to grow and bear life and nurture life and love in a way that only a woman can love. And so there's those foundational truths of our identity. But we also get to the core of those relationships of daughter, sister, bride, and mother. And again, you know, just this truth and this idea and this awareness of we're all daughters. We're all daughters of God, the Father, first and foremost, wherever we come from, whatever our family of origin is, we're all daughters of God, the Father. We're all sisters. Even if we don't have siblings, we're sisters in Christ. We're all brides. Whether we're actually married, whatever our vocation is, if we're single, if we're consecrated, if we are married, we're brides to the eternal bridegroom, and we're all mothers. And this one is a big, like, you know, we can get some resistance here. Even if we've never, there's so much pain, like just in the curse, right? There's so much pain in childbearing. It doesn't mean just physically bearing a child. It means when you're struggling with fertility, when you are a widow, when you want nothing but to be married and have kids, but you haven't found that person yet. God hasn't brought that person into your life yet. Or we've had miscarriages, or we've given up children for adoption, or, you know, but all of us were created for mother, spiritual motherhood. This is the fullness of this identity. And God wants these women, every woman who comes to Undone, in their own place, in their own places where they have the safe place to surrender and look at and offer and surrender to God their pain, and allow the Holy Spirit to start working in places of woundedness, and then infill those places with truth and infill those places with love. It's life-changing. Only because I've watched it be life-changing. It's not life-changing because Carrie or Nicole or Danielle or I are doing anything other than we're trying to abide. It's life-changing because it's the truth. You know, it's life-changing because, again, we're surfing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows up and women are radically changed. And, you know, Carrie's Dawn, which is Dr. Bob Shute's daughter, had this idea many years ago, almost 18 years ago now. And it took a while before the Lord said, yes, here's my perfect plan, but here's my perfect timing, and go with Undone. But she got this idea of calling it Undone because it's all about Mary as our example in these places of receptivity and beauty and relationship. Mary is this example of true femininity. And she, you know, St. Irenaeus said, this is the quote that it's Undone is all founded on, is it's Mary's yes that unties the knots of Eve's disobedience. And so we're together in community as sisters. We realize we're not the only ones who have ever done this, have experienced these things. We realize that we are not, Mary is there loving us and beautifully with her humility and her quietness, sitting there lovingly untying these knots for us. So we have the courage to allow God to integrate us back into the wholeness, into this picture of true femininity, like where he wants us to live in freedom, free of the knots, free of the shame, free of the powerlessness, free of the abandonment, free of the fear, free of all of the rejection, free of all of those wounds, and living fully alive in our femininity. Because the world needs us. The world needs this radical idea of beloved daughter and cherished sister and adored bride and amazing mother.
That's so beautiful. Melissa Perez is talking with me today. She's from the JP2 Healing Center. She's going to be at St. Michael's in Olympia. The event is on Thursday evening, Friday evening, and most of the day on Saturday, beginning around 9 in the morning, ending around 4 in the afternoon. And again, that's a week from Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 21st to the 23rd. So Melissa, when you are I loved that your reference to Mary, the untier of knots, the undoer of knots, undone. Think of it, folks, undone, when you're undoing a knot. And I think that it's an analogy that any mom gets and pretty much everybody gets, right? Earlier today, like within an hour ago, I put on some sweatpants. I'm going to go to the gym, and sweatpants had a knot in them. It was a pain. And I thought I just had to live with it. I thought I just had to live with these sweatpants not fitting comfortably because, well, it is what it is. And what I had to do was peacefully, patiently take a look and start to undo the knot. And when the knot was undone, ta-da, freedom, life. This is amazing. And I mean, come on, kid, how many times do your kids tie their shoes in knots and then you're frustrated and it takes some time, attention. You got to be still. You got to let it happen. And then all of a sudden when the knot's undone, you can move on. And I think, Melissa, one of the things that happens is that we don't really like take seriously. That's just sort of a nice poetic spiritual idea that Mary, the Blessed Mother, is an undoer of knots. Well, maybe for the whole church, or yeah, maybe it's a way of spiritually identifying what happened because she said yes to the angel, to Archangel Gabriel, and gave birth to Jesus. But in my life, there are knots. And even if I'm willing to say, okay, yeah, there are knots, and maybe I'm not aware of the knots, but those can actually be undone, and it's going to be better on the other side. It's going to be better on the other side. You've said this now two or three times, Melissa. The freedom is unbelievable. It's like, oh my goodness, people are just changed. And for me, my life, it was just changed. And I love the testimony. And it's one of these, again, let's call it a sadness, that we get so little from God because we expect so little from the Lord. We haven't experienced such transformation in our lives as Catholics, going to Mass and living our own spiritual lives and walking the walk we've walked. We don't really have a very high expectation that there is more for us beyond the sort of standard practices. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm here to share with you that bishops and priests and deacons and religious sisters and therapists and so many thousands and thousands and thousands of laity that have been touched by the mission and ministry of the JP2 Healing Center are going to give you a different testimony. One super quick story. I was talking with a priest that had come back from a it was a retreat. It wasn't only for priests. It was before they had just for priests, right? Mm-hmm. So he came and he was in the midst of a bunch of people, and he told a story about a memory that was surfaced for him that he had completely forgotten about. It was brought back to his attention, and it was seemingly a simple little event that happened where his dad ended up saying something to him that was harsh over something that was really silly. And he thought, you know, probably everybody that was involved in it thought there was nothing lasting or enduring from it. And when he, the priest, was able to allow the Lord, gave permission to the Lord to take away the sting and the wound and the knot that was connected to that memory, he wept and wept,
yeah,
and wept. He's not a weeping guy. He just wept and wept and wept. And he came away with this greater sense of space, this greater sense of capacity to move personally, to move. I'm trying to not to use the word freedom, but I'm trying to describe what freedom actually is experienced to be, a greater capacity to share and to speak and to be open, to listen and receive. And it was all traced back to that wound that he had not even remembered being brought out into the open and being addressed. Mm. And that might not, like, you're like, Melissa, like, yeah, that happens like 37 times a retreat.
No,
I mean, what's such a big,
No, it's never not a big deal. It's always a big deal. It never gets old. It's the most amazing thing. And what I heard you describing was, I heard you when you kept saying the capacity, and you were trying not to use the word freedom, which is all those other beautiful adjectives you use, but what I am hearing is the capacity to love. That's what it is. It's this greater capacity to love and to be loved. And then to love, it's cyclical, right?
Yeah,
It's
it's circular.
cyclical.
It's
It's
giving and
circular.
receiving, right? It's
Yes.
yeah.
Yes.
And women, I want you to hear this. Do you want to love your daughters and your sons better?
Yeah.
Do you have teenagers that are right now saying, "I dare you to love me in the midst of this," right? For you to be able to have a capacity to receive your kids and to be able to give to your kids with greater abundance, with a greater patience, with a greater kindness, with a greater sense of lightness. How about your husband to be able to give and receive with them? Again, as a single woman, for you to be able to be unbound from even like the sense of
Comparison.
comparison or worry, intense anxiety over why am I not acceptable? Why haven't I been found accepted and acceptable by someone? Why do I see my friends around me getting married, and is there anybody for me? And now feeling a bit desperate on the inside, right? Who knows what the feelings are, right?
And then with sisters, to be able to love within your community, right? Religious sisters, to be able to love and more with more openness in your communities, and then even like, widows, that they're still needed in this place, so many places, but they still have so much to offer in these places of relationship and motherhood.
So we've covered a lot of ground, Melissa. And as I think about, again, Undone as this conference for women, and it's coming up next week at St. Michael's in Olympia. And again, go to jp2healingcenter.org, jp2healingcenter.org, where you can register for this event. There's also a component where you all have found a way to offer these types of events virtually as well. And so talk a little bit about because that could be hard if someone's alone. So talk a bit about what makes an event virtually, a virtual event, something that would be life-giving and something that would be to give them the best experience they can, even if they're not in the presence of others at the event.
Well, that's a great question. I remember the first time we did a virtual event. It was a Restoring the Glory, which is the week long that that priest probably attended. He just probably attended one in person. Obviously, it sounds like from the story that you
Yeah, it
said. But
was. Yeah.
the very first virtual event that I recall us doing as a ministry was Restoring the Glory. And we thought, whoa, I don't even know how this is going to work, but we're just going to keep abiding. It's so fun to watch God move because he doesn't care that it's over the internet. He's gonna take over the devil's playground, and that's what I refer to it as. I don't know if it really is, but he shows up. So as far as the retreats go or the conferences go, we have had wonderful feedback from those who attend virtually. And it varies. The feedback varies. It's exactly what I needed because I needed to be home by myself to process through some of these things. From sometimes, particularly for Undone, the women's group, we hear of groups of women that will go away for the weekend, maybe to or just go to someone's house, and they'll have their own little gals weekend, and they can start forming a community there, and they love to experience it together. And then we have people who have gone to both virtual live streaming it at home and in person, and they say they haven't missed anything. So, I mean, I so far it's blessed everyone. We do post-event surveys and we get great feedback from it, other than the occasional, the sound went out when somebody said the last word of that sentence, or, tech, we're always praying, asking for intercession over our tech, but it's definitely worth it. The good news, and something that I love to see that our ministry offers, is if you register for the live stream, you have 2 weeks to watch all of the live stream. So, for example, our conference starts on Thursday night, goes Thursday night, Friday night. most of the day Saturday. From that Saturday, they'll have 2 weeks. They don't have two. They can't decide like 3 years from now, I want to watch it. And I have 2 weeks to watch it. It's 2 weeks post each event to watch it. So that's kind of nice too, because you can go back. Oh, and anyone who comes in person, when they register, they get a coupon code to also register for the live stream at no additional charge. So they can go home after being there in person and review things and watch it again if they want to. So that's kind of neat. That's one of the huge benefits, I guess, of the live stream. It's quote unquote recorded temporarily. So.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Would you pray with me right now?
Of course.
So, of course. Okay. This is not what I would. Hey, if we were not on the radio, that's easy. But this is on the radio. This
oh, boy. Like, yeah, for you.
This is a little bit risky. So
for
I'm going to.
Putting yourself out there.
I am trusting that the Lord wants to bring me a gift through this, but who knows through this prayer whom the Lord could touch. And I have to be humble enough to just go with the Lord and see what the Lord's going to do. Are you okay with that?
I am, only because Jesus take the wheel. My 18-year-old son says that to me all the time. So I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit's going to show up and just have just so much fun with us.
All right.
Okay.
I'm in your hands. Let's go.
Okay. Well, we're going to start with the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, you're just creating something so beautiful here. There's just, it feels like I'm hearing like orchestra, like the symphony. Thank you, Jesus. We invite you into this space. We give you permission. Lord, if there's anything that you would like to highlight for Tom, any area, any place, any memory that you would like to address now at this, during this time of prayer together, we just invite you to do so now. Is there anything stirring in your heart?
When you first started to pray, I had a kind of an impression of my father. I had a picture of his face, and it was not a typical kind of memory of my dad, but like just an impression of his face. And I lost my dad. My dad died at the end of September, and just a strong impression of him, just his face. And when you were asking about a memory, I just tried to like surrender the picture of his face and just surrender everything and see if a specific memory came up, but nothing has sort of moved in to that space internally that is like a particular memory of my dad, at least not yet.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the impression. Thank you for Tom's father. When we were praying earlier, I just had an image of your dad smiling and saying how proud he was of you. But an image earlier, and it was you as a little boy standing like in trees at the bank of a lake. And it was very peaceful. And the lake was very calm. And it seemed like it was a almost, I could see the opposite bank of the lake. So it was almost not a perfect circle, but it was I could see the lake in its entirety. It wasn't like a great lake with big waves and things like that. And you were standing under the shade of the bough of the branches. And you were just still, and you were just calm and peaceful and taking it all in. But it was a very strong image that when I would pray with it, it just kept coming back. So I offer that to you. I have no idea what it means. I have no idea what he wants you to do with it, but it was for you.
Thank you. I will pray for that. I will pray with that. In fact, my dad's mom had a cottage on Newfound Lake, which was a lake like that. You're able to see the whole lake or a big portion of it. And we would walk down to the lake and stand and look at this beautiful still lake. And it's, you know, a couple of my very favorite memories. So one of my favorite memories with my dad is there at the lake in the water, like literally I'm on his shoulders out in the water. Oh. And as a little boy, and it just felt so good being on my dad's shoulders. Like he's got me, and just enjoying being with him at the lake. So that's a place of really beautiful memories with my dad.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, praise you, Jesus. I think that's just a gift to you to affirm your relationship with your father and to cherish those memories.
Well, and you know what? I think a sense I get from that is that the Lord is letting me know that my father is still lifting me up. He's still lifting me up from heaven, and that his relationship to me as my father didn't end. And there's a way in which, as I grew spiritually, I became a bit of a, let's call it a spiritual father to him. For the last few decades of his life, I sort of was a leader for him. And so now to be able to sort of get that reversed and say, you know, my father has made it home to heaven, and I'm going to now be carried by him again. And I can return to the little boy status, and he can carry me. So.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. Wow. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this gift. We thank you for this affirmation of your love. You are a good, good father. And we just thank you for building and strengthening the bonds between Tom and George still, and even more so now, even more so now. George is on, you know, the other side. He's on the other side of heaven praying, and his intercession is so strong and so heard, Lord. And we just thank you for the gift of fatherhood, the gift of sonhood, and for your love in this time together and bring us together in your name, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father.
Wow, Melissa, that was so beautiful.
That was an honor.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's like, folks, why did we do that? I did that because I was honoring what the Lord was prompting me to do. And I didn't know where it was going to go. And you didn't either, Melissa. I was like, let's see what the Lord has for us. But I wanted to do it. And well, I felt like maybe one of the reasons the Lord was doing it was to give folks an experience of what, and this isn't the same experience they're going to have if they go on the retreat, the conference, the Undone conference, but this is the kind of thing that you can see happen. It's like a living prayer that is dialogical, and it's open to the Spirit. It's open to what's happening between us, and let's be open to see what the Lord is doing. And then let's say yes and move with that. And that's what happened. Thank you, Lord. And here's the beautiful thing, Melissa, there's 100 other things going on that we have no idea about.
Exactly. 100%.
So I love that.
I love it.
Well, Melissa, I had you on a lot longer than I thought I was. Look what the Holy Spirit is doing. So thank you.
It's been so fun, though. I don't know that I wanted to end. Let's do this often. Yeah.
This is great. This is really, truly. It was an incredible blessing to me, Melissa, to have you on. And folks, I hope and pray that this was an encouragement to you, and that you would be willing now to say, I'm open. I want to do this. I want to draw near to the Undone conference, whether you're there in person next Thursday, Friday, and then most of Saturday, Thursday night, Friday night, and then most of Saturday, or you can participate virtually and go to the jp2healingcenter.org to learn more about the event. And if you show up live, you're going to show up and you're going to meet Melissa and you're going to have a new best friend. So,
yes, come say hi to me.
Absolutely. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for the generosity of your time. Thank you for that beautiful, sweet prayer. I'm very grateful for it. And we'll be praying for that incredible event happening next week at St. Michael's.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. I really have loved it.